Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and this is Pastor Fred. Thank you for tuning in to Perspectives on the Bible. And today we're going to be looking at the readings appointed to be read in the church on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to begin with the first reading. But as we begin, I'd like to just set up the readings a little bit as we are talking. In the introductory notes to this program, I wrote that stuff happens. And I know that this usually is a negative concept. People say, well, unlucky things or unfortunate things or stuff happens. Many people even use a different word for that. But this is, after all, a Christian broadcast, and we're not going to be using that word. But there is a feeling about life that sometimes seems it's serendipitous or happenstance that untoward things happen to us. And as we begin our program today, I'd like to make a strong statement to say that God doesn't produce stuff happens. God wants us to be successful. God wants to be our helper. God intends for us to get along in life very well, because he made us to be successful. He made us in his own likeness and image. And so for God, stuff doesn't happen. Rather, that if something is sent by God, we can be sure that that something, whatever it is, that stuff, whatever it is, that seeming happenstance, whatever it is, comes from God as a direct intervention of assistance and help to us, because God is our helper and strength, a very present help in every trouble. Now, today we're going to be looking at the text for the day of Pentecost appointed to be read, and that was Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 9. And as we introduce this passage, I'd like to say that we're going to take a different tact or another perspective, perhaps something you may not have heard before, something that will potentially open up the scriptures in a new way. And I think that's very exciting because, you know, I was raised up in a church. I love the church. I always have loved the church. I still do love the church. And I mean the church as the church, not just a grouping of people in this, you know, out here and untethered to any building. I'm talking about a church, building, a congregation, a pastor, a people, an organization, a recognizable entity, the church. And I know there's all kinds of spiritualizations of the church. However, for this speaker, the church is a place, many places worldwide, universally, all over the entire world, where people gather together in one place, wherever that might be, to give praise and thanks to God, to pray, to worship, to listen, to learn, to grow, to intercede, to share, to work, to serve. So many things that churches do. I know there's a lot of people who say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Well, I oftentimes have to ask myself the question, well, it's nice that you're a Christian, but what difference does that make if you're not in the church? Now, that might turn you off. Please don't reach for the dial and say, no, this guy is not for me. I don't want to do that. But I want to set the tone appropriately. Now, here we go. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name shall be Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. You know, when I was a boy and going to church as I did every Sunday, I remember many sermons on this particular topic, and all of them took a negative tact. I remember pastor after pastor gave the interpretation that the people who were speaking one language intended to act against God, or intended to be ungodly, or intended to establish a urban environment which would be automatically anti-God. I would like to take a different tact on this particular text, to look at it from the aspect of saying, what was the prime directive of the book of Genesis? The prime directive is be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and that and populate the earth and make the earth your garden. God sends Adam and Eve out of the garden, that localized place called Eden, because the earth needed them all, everywhere, on every continent, every land, every place. The people of God, the humanity, the human beings created in the image and likeness of God, needed to be there to be the gardeners and the tenders of the garden and the take care of God's creation. And so, even from the very beginning, when God sends them out, he sends them out not to punish them in the earth, of course they lose Eden, but to say to them, your job, your task is to tend the garden, which is this earth, and take care of it and provide for it and be the steward or the manager of it. And so when we come to this particular place after the flood and so forth, we have the people of the earth gathering together in one place because they have one language, and they're able thereby to organize, to establish building trades, as it were, to be able to build a city. They're able to make bricks and use bitumen. Isn't that interesting that they should use bitumen, which is an oil product? You know, we're talking about that part of the world where oil is plentiful. And so they knew what to do with it, to use it as adhesive, to use it as a mortar, to use it to burn, to build and make brick. People way back then knew what oil was worth in that sense. Anyway, moving on. When God sees them, he says to them, says to himself, actually, you know, they're not going to leave here. They're going to stay here. They're not going to go out. They're not going to venture forth. They're not going to cross over the seas. They're not going to inhabit the continents. They're not going to do what I want them to do. What they need to do is not to congregate in one place and create a ghetto for themselves in this place. They need to spread out and to venture forth and to explore and to gain knowledge and insight and to populate and replenish and take care of the earth. And so, in a very real sense, stuff happens. And you say, well, this was stuff that happened to them. God went down and confused their languages, and they were unable to speak with each other or to understand each other's directions and instructions. And this babbling produced a disunity and a disorganization, and they were dispersed over the whole earth. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because the earth needed them, whether that was in South America or in China, or whether that was in Europe, or whether that was in Russia, wherever it was, or Antarctica, or, well, there's nobody in Antarctica that we know of, but the North Pole, Australia, New Zealand, and places like that. These people need to get there, and God knew that they were not going to get there as long as they spoke one language and were happy with each other in their city, which they had built. And so we have this positive experience that God sent stuff that happened in order to provide the relatively harmless impetus. You know, it isn't that wars and famines and all the other things that the sociologists and the historians of human civilization want us to see, but maybe a more benign experience that God said, I'll confuse their language, they will not be able to understand each other, and therefore they will go out. Now, it's wonderful to think of it, because if you're writing a book about this, you might say that, well, okay, but obviously those who knew how to make brick, some of them could speak language A, and some of them could speak language B, and some of them could speak language C, the carpenters, the builders, the architects, the engineers, the chemists, all of those people. God dispersed them in such a way that those who had talent and ability in a particular area were evenly distributed among the people who were dispersed from the plain of Shinar. And so the Lord then gave a blessing. Now, the people might have thought, oh, this is a negative. But a reality is that this was a positive. It gave them opportunity and adventure and exploration and the ability to establish themselves upon the whole earth, and not just in one little getaway section of the earth. But the thing is true, and you're right, that God did confuse their language, and so their ability as organization to build upon that organization, to capitalize on that organization, to politicize that organization, and to create empires from that organization, because they all spoke one language and could therefore build a great imperial society, was destroyed by the different languages and the different speeches. And disunity did happen, and separation did occur. But that was needed in order that the world could be populated and cared for according to God's will. Okay, so let's go on to the second lesson. You know, one of the things that we think of when we think of the first lesson, to go back to that for a minute, is that we always wanted, all of us, I think from the earliest time that we recognized that there were different languages and different cultures and different people and different racial groups, I think spiritually we've yearned for unity, we've yearned for cooperation and collaboration and community, common unity. And language is a big obstacle to that. In our day, we have established the United Nations, which speaks with one voice for the world. And yet, even now, we question whether having one organization speaking one political viewpoint with one world order or one world view or one world government concepts or one unified organizational principle, that really is the best thing? Or does it produce unintended consequences of arrogance and disaster that we have yet to experience and we dread if such a thing should happen? You know, the big brother concept that George Orwell talked about, and the whole idea of Animal Farm and the pigs being the masters over the horses and all of that. Okay, let's go on to the next topic. Well, before we get to that, and I don't want to overdwell this, but you know, when you're separated by language and culture and geography, it can feel alien. It can feel that you're alienated from other people, that maybe you're alone from other people, or that you're separated by a chasm that cannot be overcome. Yet we have succeeded in our society in overcoming that. We work hard at it by loving other people, seeing other people through the eyes of Christ, understanding other people, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Walk a mile in another person's moccasins before you criticize him. Dream the dreams and the thoughts and the hopes for yourself and for others, that they would like to have the same dreams and hopes and aspirations that you would like to have. We do that. And throughout the history of the church has been a powerful factor in the unity and the unifying force between so much cooperation and collaboration and community. The church is community. The Christian church is collaboration. The Christian church is cooperation. And we have that, as we're going to see, from a gift that God gave to us, namely the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, into the second lesson. Now, the second lesson is for us is in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. Now, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they, meaning the disciples and the apostles, were gathered together in one place. Sound familiar? And suddenly there came from heaven, sound familiar, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them speaking to us in our own tongue the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, saying, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, namely, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a wonderful answer to the Babel of the Tower of Babel. What a wonderful answer from God to the disorganization, the non-collaboration, the uncooperation, the divisions of that first experience. Here we have a new happening. This stuff happens, and the stuff that is happening here is the unification of all the peoples under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Christian Church. Now, this is not a dispersal. This is an ingathering. This is this is not a scattering. This is a gathering. And this is not a disunity. This is a unification. This is a common union. And the common union is one divine language given to Christian people from the Holy Spirit, so that we now have one common language, the language of the Spirit of God, a Spirit whom Jesus directly told us that he was going to send to us, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom and knowledge and power and might. The Holy Spirit would give us understanding. The Holy Spirit would remind us about all the things that we needed to know, which we knew about, and the Holy Spirit would reveal to us those things which we had never known, but which we needed to know. And the Holy Spirit would guide us into the future, into the truth, and the Holy Spirit would intercede for us with the Father in heaven. And get this, the Holy Spirit would do this all through the unfathomable, unutterable language of the Spirit. And so this is not a speech that can be heard with the ears, but it's a spiritual speech which is felt by the soul. It is a spiritual energy which encompasses the human person's physical energy. It is a invasion of our physical self by the Holy Spirit kinetically. So we are not only influenced in some kind of esoteric way, but we are directly involved in a visitation, an invasion, an embrace of the Holy Spirit, who calls us and gathers us and enlightens us into the one holy Christian church. For what reason? In order that we may be reunited, that we may enter into common union, community, that we might have a collaborative, cooperative experience of human endeavor, and so that we might, as one people with one voice and one spirit, not build an empire for ourselves, but having already populated the world and inhabited the entire garden, as it were, we are now given the language, the language of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who is sent to us by Jesus. Remember, before Jesus goes up to heaven in the ascension, he says to the disciples, "You weep and lament because I go away, but it is for your good that I go away, because I must go away in order that the Father can send the Holy Spirit." And this is the Spirit, not separate from and distinct from Jesus, but a Spirit that is one of the persons of the Holy Trinity, another expression, a spiritual expression, whereas Jesus, of course, in that context, is a physical experience, a kinetic experience of the visitation of God among human beings. And so we have this wonderful thing. And so he says, you will dream dreams. You will have visions. You will prophesy. And males and females, there'll be no distinction. Men and women, male servants and female servants. To these I will pour out my spirit in those days, says the Lord. And you will have a magnificent time. It will be the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is an imperative, my friends, and it's a wonderful imperative that says that every person, every human person, the Christian church is not exclusive. We're not an exclusive private club. the Christian church is not a pay to get entered into place. It doesn't have a security gate and all kinds of security people keeping people out. The Christian church wants people in. Why? So that we can share with them the gift we ourselves have been given in Christ, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that each and every one who encounters us can receive his or her share in this ministry, the ministry of God's revelation of Christ in the Holy Spirit. And so it's a wonderful inclusivity, the church. The church is not something that is desperate. It is not something individual. It is something collective and communal. Okay, so then this wonderful good news that we have this Holy Spirit calling us and gathering us and enlightening us in the one holy Christian apostolic church leads us to the third lesson, the Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter. The Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter, the 23rd verse. Jesus answered them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. You heard me say that. I am doing that. And if you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I am told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, he says, let us be going. This is before the crucifixion statements in the Gospel of St. John. But the big issue here is the unity of the Christians gathered together in the church. Now, I know there's a big emphasis on me and my Jesus, me and my Bible, me and my faith, me and my witnessing, me and my whatever. But from the earliest days, the apostles gathered together for prayer and song and spiritual speech. From the earliest days, the church was a community gathered together for helping and aiding, assisting others, serving others, worshiping together as a community of faith and life and hope. And what I think we need today is to take a good look at that again for ourselves. So many people have, it seems to me, foolishly abandoned the church because the church is imperfect. Well, yeah, I know. That's very nice. The church is imperfect, but the world is imperfect and we don't run away from the world. Our jobs are imperfect and we don't run away from our jobs. Our families are imperfect and we don't run away from our families. We are imperfect and we don't run away from ourselves. So the idea that I hear some people say to me, I don't go to church because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Oh, my dear. You don't want to be a hypocrite. So what you're saying is that everyone who goes to church, they are hypocrites. But because you don't go to church, you're not a hypocrite. Well, isn't that special, the church lady would say. Rather, I would share with you the idea that God desires for us to gather together for for mutual admonition and encouragement, for mutual assistance and help, for mutual education and forgiveness and hope, for mutual comfort and vision, for mutual cooperation and collaboration, and all of that, that we are members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Yes, universal, the word Catholic, universal church. And so, as I share with you this, I wonder to myself if we need to go any further. I think somewhat we may have exhausted the topic. What I would like to encourage you is to, well, I'll share with you my story. It's a story about 25 years ago when I was a younger person. I was very much interested in radio, and I was very interested in establishing a radio broadcast system. And I tried looking around, and everything was 25 years ago, you can imagine, tremendously expensive, unbelievably inaccessible. Nothing was available for a small guy like me. The internet didn't even have anything like it does today, like we're doing right now, using the internet as a radio broadcast system. And so I contacted many, many organizations to try to get help, and no one was interested. Nobody thought it was possible. And the long and the short of it was, it didn't happen. Some 15 years or so, maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I guess, maybe even, I contacted a particular person who I said, would you please, he put himself out as a person who could give me information and instruction and help, and help if it was possible to establish a radio broadcast, he would help me do it. And he was unsuccessful. But he said to me, he said, you know, Reverend, don't worry. I will, as long as I live, I will not forget you. And if anything should come up whereby the government or the society or the structures or the prices or whatever it is change, I will let you know. Well, I never gave up the dream, but I'm a realist and I stopped working at that. As soon as internet radio came about and blog talk radio and all that, I got involved with it as fast as I possibly could, because I feel there is a very powerful force here that should be used for the preaching and teaching about Jesus of Nazareth, our Savior and our Lord, our Helper and our Counselor and our Advocate, with who wants us to be successful. Well, it turns out that only 2 years ago, this person, who I long ago forgotten, I don't even remember their names to this very day, contacted me to tell me that the Federal Communications Commission was opening up a unique once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for people who wanted to have terrestrial, earth-based radio broadcasts through the towers and on the earth beam, you know, you can listen to it in your car radio type thing. Don't need a computer, don't need the internet. Broadcast radio, and I should apply. Well, I didn't really know. I had recently formed a community organization in Kentucky that was a community-based organization that was had been in existence for some time already, and I approached them, and we all agreed that we would apply to the FCC. We got the forms. We downloaded them. We filled them out ourselves to the best of our ability with help of an organization called REC Network, RECNET. Mickey Bradley is the person involved in that, who was a very big help in every possible way in getting us started. Well, we filled that all out and we sent it into the FCC. And much to our shock and surprise and delight, we were granted a construction permit to establish a terrestrial radio station in Richmond, Kentucky, a 100-watt station, low power FM, and it would become a fully licensed radio broadcast from that place. And we went ahead and accepted the construction permit. But, you know, we didn't have any money. We didn't know about radio, really. We hadn't ever believed that it would ever happen, although we did pray about it, and we did hope about it, and we did talk about it, and we did act upon it. But we never believed that it – not really. We hoped. We prayed, we desired, but, you know, we said, oh, you know, our chances, little tiny people that we are, of gaining a construction permit for a radio program through the airwaves, that was almost impossible. Well, we were granted the license, and God be praised. So with that, we were confronted with a whole new set of problems, which is where to get the money, how to get the expertise, how to go about doing it, what kind of equipment did we need, what kind of education did we need, what kind of technical knowledge did we need, what kind of engineering ability did we need, and so forth and so on. And very early on, we received quite a bit of help from all kinds of people who, out of the clear blue sky, contacted us and said, we see that the FCC has granted you a construction permit, and we know that you desire to build a radio station, and we're going to help you do that. And amazingly, so we were able, step by step, with fear and trembling, to establish a radio presence in Richmond, Kentucky. Now, we had an idea, and the idea was is that we didn't want to be another Christian radio broadcast. We didn't want to be another member of the Christian radio ghetto, as I call it. You know, radio broadcasting for Christians, to Christians, and only Christians, and anyone else who comes across that on the dial quickly passes it by or shuts it off. We wanted to engage the contemporary culture on its own turf, according to its own terms, using its own means of communication, but from a Christian perspective. Excuse me. And we've done that. A wonderful man named Ron Erickson contacted us. Excuse me, I have to have a sip of water. Thank you for your patience. A wonderful man named Ron Erickson contacted us from Erickson Broadcast Sales, and he was a radio man. He had been a radio man his whole life. He had been a host of radio programs. He had owned radio stations. He was a radio equipment supplier. And with his assistance and the prayers of many, many people, we went on Facebook, and I established a Facebook page for a organization called Christian Church Broadcast Network, which is, to this date, has received 3,000 likes. And I'm very happy about that, excited about that. And we use that on Facebook, Christian Church Broadcast Network. Notice the emphasis on the word church, Christian Church Broadcast Network. We established another organization called Christian Church Unity Institute. And we established a third entity underneath the direction of these first two, which is called Christian Church Radio. And now we have received our call letters, WKRI FM, in Richmond, Kentucky. There's a lot of Richmonds out there, Richmond, Kentucky. And the frequency is 95.9 on the FM dial. It's a 100-watt station, but very fortunately, we've been able to work with the REC Network, with the Prometheus Project, with Ron Erickson, with the American Tower Company, with the Chamber of Commerce of Richmond, Kentucky, with individuals who have helped us establish the actual presence of the station in a shelter underneath the tower on Lancaster Road in Richmond, right near Eastern Kentucky University, and at 100 feet and 100 watts. And now we broadcast regularly a station 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is the basis, the medium of communication is golden oldies, or oldies, golden oldies, rock and roll music of the 70s and 60s, 70s, 80s, even a little bit into the 90s. That's the contemporary niche that we chose in order to engage the society and the community and the environment on their own turf, according to their own terms, using their own means of communication. But we approach the news, we approach the announcements, we approach the record selection, we approach everything from a distinctly Christian perspective. We speak openly about our Christian faith. We use American Family Network. We use American Family News. We use even the Christian-based organizations of all kinds that throughout the day are able to have a minute or two per segment to tell us about Jesus, to tell us about God, to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus and to glorify his church and his word, and to invite people to engage with us in a spiritual life in the church. Now, they told me it couldn't be done. They told me it would never happen. They told me, they being all kinds of other people, they told me to give up. They told me to never try it again. It was too expensive. It was never going to happen. The future looked bleak and so on. Well, we are now fully operational. We broadcast 24/7. We're fully licensed by the Federal Communications Commission. We are a community-based Richmond, Kentucky group reaching out to the community from a Christian perspective to assist the community through radio and to help promote the causes that will build up the community of Richmond and its people, its schools, its organizations, and its structures from a Christian perspective. Isn't that wonderful? And so it's really been a 25-year journey. It's now successful. And now that it is successful and now that it is broadcasting, we're presented with the new options. What now? Where do we go from here? What do we do from here? Do we go and get a translator which extends our range and makes the station heard for longer distances? Do we continue to encourage the Federal Communications Commission to boost power from 100 watts to 250 watts? Do we build a radio station, an actual building, an actual studio, and all of the costs that go with that in Richmond? Right now, we do broadcast from Richmond. We are in Richmond. We originate in Richmond. The people who work there for us are Richmond people, but an actual physical studio of any kind of size is a little something there, but you know, we have equipment, we have all that we need to make it happen in Richmond. But you know, if you're thinking NBC, CBS, Fox News, any of those people, we're far away from that level of sophistication. And yet here I am in my home speaking into a microphone box and through the internet able to speak with you, my dear friends, about the Bible and about this story. Well, how do I tie that in? Why did I tell you that story? Well, the way I tie it in and the reason I told you the story is because there were numerous times, I can't tell you, when I wanted to give up, when I had lost hope, when I believed that there was no possibility of success, when I thought that maybe this is not what God wanted, this is not what I should be doing, maybe somebody else should do it or it should not be done at all, and all of that. And there were plenty of naysayers who said to me, "Don't bother, Fred. Why are you wasting your time? You don't have that much time left to waste." That's kind of true, I guess. So, but every time that happened, stuff happened. Yes, stuff happened. A man called me and said, "I want to help you." And he did. Another man called me and said, "I have information that you need to know." And it was very important information. The people at Prometheus came around and produced all kinds of good material that helped us in establishing the low power FM station in Richmond, Kentucky. Mickey Bradley of RecNet, a big advocate for low power FM stations, helped us through some of the administrative hurdles with the federal government. Ron Erickson came into our lives at WKRI 95.9 FM in Kentucky and helped us establish the station actually with the equipment and with the transmitters and with all that we needed to do in terms to establish our broadcast ability. And he still is with us every day in the morning broadcast and helps us with the music and the selections and so on and so forth. the people of St. Matthew's Evangelical Lutheran Church, who are my, this is my congregation, they have been with us every step of the way, and they are the major fundraiser and the major funder of this. Of course, they can't do that forever, but as a mission project and as the beginning of an outreach ministry, this congregation in New Jersey looked to Kentucky and reached out its hands, its support, its prayers, its help, its hope to the people of Richmond and to this radio station as a encounter between a Christian viewpoint and the contemporary society. All of these things could be regarded as serendipitous or happenstantial. I would suggest to you that nothing that has happened to us in this, and I could use many other examples, has ever been that, but rather God, in his own way, working through many, many different people and many, many different modes of operation, many, many means, different means of communication, has at each crucial point sent someone or something into our life, even money, that has helped us to be able to accomplish his will for our life and our work. You have something that God wants you to do. You have something to accomplish that you think you should accomplish, and God is probably prompting you to accomplish it. I would like to encourage you in the Holy Spirit, as I share with you in prayer and thought and meditation, that God wants you, like he wanted us, to succeed, that God wants you to achieve the dreams that you want to achieve. Now, there is a caveat here, a warning. Notice the story about WKRI 95.9 FM, and you might be able to listen to it on the internet if you go to WKRIFM.com and click on that in your browser. You may be able to hear it. We have a very limited by demand only internet presence. We're really not an internet radio program. But you, my friend, God wants you to accomplish goals for him. And he is probably sending you many, many, many messages and messengers and saying to you, this is what you should do and this is what you should accomplish. I ask you to take that seriously. The text in our thing says that the Lord sends the Holy Spirit to us. We don't have to seek the Holy Spirit. We don't have to find the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit finds us. The Holy Spirit seeks us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. We, in our turn, have to merely accept the change of direction, perhaps, or accept the assistance, perhaps, that God wants to provide for us. And seeing with a new eye and a new vision, we may be able to see, like the prophet Joel says, a world which is yet to come, of which we play a part in creating. I hope this has been encouraging to you. I've really appreciated your willingness to share with us and listening. I want to say that it's been a thrill to be with you tonight. I'm sorry that we don't have interconnectivity yet. This is a very simple operation, as you can tell. I have no one to screen. I have no one to receive calls. There's a lot of complications to have that interconnectivity. But I do appreciate you. I do know that some of you are out there somewhere listening. And, you know, by the way, you might say, oh, well, he doesn't. No, it's you know, you're talking into the air. You would like to know there's someone who can respond, someone who can send an email to Blog Talk Radio, somebody who can, maybe we don't have an address or a chat room or a website or anything like that, but you can at least let the Blog Talk Radio people know that you listen to the program and you like it, or you appreciate it, or you think it's a good thing. Because we, too, can be overwhelmed and overcome with a sense of aloneness and separation and apartness and individuality or individualism, whatever these things are, that separate us from others. And so if you're in the community of the church, called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, reach out to us as we are reaching out to you, and let us know that you pray for us because we pray for you. I'm Pastor Fred. Thank you very much for listening to Perspective. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much for listening to Perspective.